Miss Jackie, we do. We rejoice with you and young Jairus, the way he has had to travel. And one of the things that was so encouraging in what I saw just then, you know, much of his life has been a challenge, but I saw a lot of pictures where he was able to smile through what he was going through. And again, we are grateful. Come on, let's bless the Lord again, the miracle worker. Amen. He is the miracle worker. Good morning, good morning. Welcome to all of those of you who have come. If this is your first time with us, a very special welcome to you. Welcome to those of you who are visiting us or joining us, rather, via live online. Again, we are so grateful to God that we can have moments like this where we can celebrate answered prayer. And so we thank God for all of you, as Ms. Jackie said, who have joined in and are walking with her through this journey. And continued prayers are coveted, as she said. At this time, we're going to have our fifth grade and below. If they could, they can head to their designated area, and those who are serving back there, fifth grade and below. And for those of us who are going to remain, if you will turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 14 with me, if you haven't already. Gospel of John, chapter 14. As always, I kind of like to give a little introduction before I have us stand and read the text that we're going to look at. So last week, we were strongly encouraged or exhorted, if you will, to be faithful with the assignment that was given to us by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that is found in Matthew 28. We noted that he is the one that has been given all authority, all power, and authority has been given to him in heaven and on earth. And he has commissioned those of us who profess to belong to him that we are to go and make disciples of all the nations. And we noted that in order to make those disciples, it's as you are going or as wherever we are to share the gospel or the good news of Jesus Christ. And what is that good news? Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. He was crucified on a cross, and Isaiah the prophet prophesied and said he was fulfilling what he prophesied in Isaiah 53. Surely he took upon our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds, or some of you know it more familiar, by his stripes, we are healed. It was Jesus' death that was accepted by God the Father as payment for the penalty of our sins. Jesus, the Son of God, the one who knew no sin, would become sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And I need you to understand, this act of substitutionary atonement, it allows us as believers to be declared righteous in the sight of God, to be forgiven, rather, and declared righteous in the sight of God. So the Apostle John records, whoever believes in the name of Jesus will not perish, but have eternal life. Now, today, Jesus says, in continuing our assignment, we are to baptize those who place their faith in Christ Jesus in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we know that that's just a way of publicly identifying with Jesus in the message about him. So, and not only with Jesus, but with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit as well, because there is only one true God, the triune God who exists. So the one God who exists in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So in the act of water baptism, all we are saying is we want everyone to know that we are the disciples of Christ, that we belong to the living God. That is really what is happening or what we're doing in baptism. But the assignment is not complete. Not only are we to go and make disciples, well, make disciples as we are going, and then if they believe, we are to baptize them. But we have to be teaching them all that he commanded of us, which are the facts of the word of God. And we have to teach people to observe what the word of God says. And we know that Jesus didn't stop there. That last week he ended his message on a note of assurance, knowing that in a few days he was going to be leaving and ascending back to the Father. He gave them the assurance of his presence. He said, and lo is just another way of saying surely. He says, you can be sure of this. I am with you always, even to the end of age. Literally means all the days, every single day, I am with you. But if he was leaving and he was going back to the Father, how was he going to be with them always, every single day? How is he with us in the assignment? And thus, that's why we come to John chapter 14. If you have it, please stand on your feet with me. And I want us to read verses 16 through 20. Shouldn't be long before you today. Read it from the NASB. You can read it on the handout or look up on the screen behind me. You'll find it there. But he says this. This is how I'm going to be with you in the assignment. When I say I will be with you always, here's how it's going to happen. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him or know him. But you know him, because he abides in you, or abides with you, rather, and he will be in you. I would not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. After a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. In that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. And so from these verses, I want to talk about God's provision for the assignment. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for once again allowing us to come to this place freely, God. And I thank you even more so, God, that you have a word for us today. And I pray now, by your Spirit, God, you will speak to our hearts, God, and that your name would be glorified by the teaching of your word today. Help us see clearly and understand, God, not only did you give the assignment, but you made provision for the assignment. So your name be glorified, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen. Have a seat. Now, when you come to this 14th chapter of John here, we are in a very important section where Jesus have actually been preparing his disciples for his impending departure. In other words, he's going to be leaving them shortly, and where he's going, right, at least at this time, they cannot go with him. So this chapter actually opens up with an encouragement for them to not be troubled by all the things that he's been telling them. He begins the chapter with something that we probably have heard much of our lives, where he says, do not let your heart be troubled. Stop being troubled in your heart about these things. And he shares with them, yes, I'm going away to my Father's house. But he lets them know, as I go away to my Father's house, I'm going to be making special preparation for you. And if I make this special preparation for you, I will return and bring you to where I have this special preparation, which you will be with me. And then he also tells them, you know how to get to my Father's house. And the explanation is that he himself is the way, because he says in verse 6, I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the life. And no one comes to the Father but through me. Now, when you go back, and I encourage you to do so, when you go back and you read this, it's exciting to know where he's going back to the Father, and why he's going back to the Father, because he says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. That's very exciting. But naturally, the question in their minds would be, well, what about this in-between time when you leave and when you come back? So in verse 12, he further encouraged them. He says that in between time, you're going to do greater works than I have done because I'm going to the Father. Now, this does not refer to the fact that the disciples would do greater miracles of healing or that they would do more miracles than Christ ever did. Because the Apostle John actually will say, if you go read this entire gospel, the very last verse of this entire gospel, he says that many other things Jesus did that if he wrote it all out, it wouldn't be enough books in this world to contain it all. So that's not what he's talking about. They don't do more in number than Jesus did. So what does it mean that they're going to do greater works in the in-between time? I'm glad you're going back to prepare a place. But what are we supposed to be doing in between time? You have an assignment, and Jesus says, in this assignment, greater works are you going to do. The emphasis is on the spiritual ministry that they were going to carry on. They will carry on a greater spiritual ministry as they proclaim the gospel of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, which is the assignment. So we're clear. We have the assignment, but what about the provision that we need to sustain and enable us as disciples to continue in our service until Christ returns? And I believe that is the thrust of these verses that we're going to be dealing with today. That it deals with the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now, when you go back, if you read this entire gospel, the Spirit has been mentioned several times previously here in John, and one in particular that many of us are familiar with back in John chapter 3, where Jesus tells Nicodemus, you must be born of the water and the Spirit. But it's here in John 14, and really 14, 15, and 16, but here in John 14 that Jesus begins to unfold the details of the Spirit's ministry after he leaves from the earth. When he leaves, he says here in verse 16, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. So Jesus will request from the Father another helper. And this word another is very interesting, because in the Greek, you have two basic meanings for this word another. It can mean another of the same kind, or it can mean another of a different kind. Here the word means another of the same kind. In other words, I will ask the Father and he will give you a helper who is just like me. The same kind of helper that I have been to you. I will ask the Father and he will send the helper. Some of you who, and I know we got a couple of people who still love going through the King James Version, it says, I will send you the comforter. And the only reason we moved away from that word, because 300 years ago, that word comforter during King James time meant something different than what we think about today. When you think about the comforter today, you think about somebody who consoles you. Well, the Spirit, that is part of his ministry, but it is much broader than that. During King James time, it meant more of someone that who would empower you. So I will ask the Father, and he will send you a helper. Now, in the Greek, this word is paraclete. It's paraclete, and it's a combination of two words. Para means alongside of, and kaleo means to call. So the proper understanding of a paraclete is one who is called alongside of you to give you strength, aid, or assistance in whatever you need. So I will ask the Father, he will send someone just like me, this helper who will come alongside you and empower you and aid you in whatever you need. Now, they in secular Greek, they would have understood this. They call it the advocate, or this is how they looked at a paraclete, was a lawyer, how a lawyer would come alongside you and help you. But this word, another of the same kind, it also speaks to the deity and the personality of the Holy Spirit. And I want to put emphasis there, because there are teachers today that says the Holy Spirit is an it. that it is a force or just some influence. No, because if the Spirit was just an influence, he would not be the same kind of helper that Jesus is. And that's why I emphasize that there are two understandings. When he says another, he says a helper that is just like me. And because Jesus was a personal being who was there with them to aid them in whatever way, now he's going to provide another just like him, another personal being just like him to be there to aid them during this time. So it would indicate the deity of the Holy Spirit, because if the Holy Spirit is not deity, then he's not just like Jesus was. And last week we noted that Jesus told his disciples that I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And now we're going to, now we see right here in the latter part of verse 16 how he was like with them always. He says, this helper, he may be with you forever. So what's going to be characteristic for this provision, if you will, for our assignment is the provision of the Holy Spirit, that he would be with the believer permanently. Jesus was with them during his earthly ministry, and now he's going to leave as far as his bodily presence, if you will. But now he's going to be with them through the Spirit of God, who would come to reside in them permanently. And we're getting ready to see this very clearly in verse 17. Look at what it says. That is the Spirit of truth, whom what the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. So back in 16, if you got any question about who this helper is, he answers it in 17. That is the Spirit of truth. And I emphasize that because I just talked to a man this week over there at the Repairs of the Breach who believed that the helper that Jesus was going to send was Muhammad. And I told him, I said, well, that's not what the scripture says. So it's important for us to note and accept what the scripture says. You don't have to guess who this other helper is. He tells you who the helper is. That is the Spirit of truth. And this identifies him right back with Jesus Christ. Because remember now, we just quoted verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now we're told that the Spirit of God is the truth, or the Spirit of truth. Because as deity, he would have the same attributes. He would have the same characteristics as God the Son. The Holy Spirit is referred to as the Spirit of truth because he is the communicator. He is the revealer of truth. Jesus Christ was the one who revealed God, God the Father. He made God known most fully. But now today, through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, God is known. In other words, God makes makes understandable the revelation, what we call the revelation here, that has been given to us. We as human beings, apart from the Spirit giving us understanding, we could not understand it. That's why John says here, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him or know him. To see him here doesn't mean literally with physical eyes. It means to see means to perceive or under. The world doesn't understand him. You make the note and look at it later for yourselves in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Paul draws a contrast between those who have the Spirit of God and those who do not. And he makes the point that if only those who have the Spirit, that it is only those who have the Spirit of God who can understand things pertaining to God. Listen to what he says. Beginning with verse 6, he talks about the rulers of this age and how they didn't understand God's wisdom. Well, actually, listen to what he says about them in verse 8. The wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood, for if they understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But just as it is written, things which eye has not seen or ear has not heard and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. For to us, God revealed them. And he tells you how. through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. So it's the ministry of the Spirit that reveals the things of God. You don't find it through your natural senses. But it is actually supernaturally revealed by the Spirit of God. And this is still in 1 Corinthians. He goes on in verse 12 and says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God." Listen, "that we might know the things freely given to us by God." And then here's the contrast in 14, and we'll come back over to our text. "But a natural man does not accept the things of God, of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish to him, and he cannot understand them." That's the point that Jesus is making here in verse 17 when he says that the world cannot receive him. The world does not perceive him. The world does not understand him because it does not see him or know him. So, but you know him because he abides in you and will be in you. Now, let me be clear. When it talks about you see him, no one has ever seen the Spirit of God. I'm talking about today. We have not. He's a spirit. He does not have a tangible body like you and I have. We who are believers, when we say we have, it's more accurate to say we have not seen God with our physical eyes, but when we say we see him, we perceive him, we understand, we have received him. We know him and have experienced his ministry. His spirit, the Bible puts it this way, it's his spirit that bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So Jesus makes that distinction here, and he says the world doesn't know him, but you know him. And how do they have known him? Because he says he's been with you. He abides with you. He's been here with you all along. Remember when Jesus got baptized and the Spirit descended upon him as a dove, and then Jesus starts his earthly ministry after the temptation in the wilderness. He does everything that the Father tells him to do by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit has been abiding with them. He's been a part of their ministry. But he goes on to say, but now he will have a unique ministry. He will be in you. At the end of verse 17 there. At the end of verse 16 there, he says, he may be with you forever. At the end of 17, he will be in you. When you put the two together, the Holy Spirit will be in you forever. Paul confirms this for us in Ephesians 1. He talks about those who believe in Christ, that we have been sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise. He also speaks about it in 2 Corinthians. Chapter 1, he says, now he who establishes us with you in Christ and anointed us is God, who also sealed us and gave us the Spirit in our hearts as a pledge. So you know about him and you know about his ministry. You know about him from both the Old Testament teachings and from his ministry here on earth as Christ walked this earth. But there's going to be a change. I will send him to carry on a different ministry now than he's had. He's going to now dwell within you forever and thus be your helper, the one who enables you to carry out your assignment. The Holy Spirit is God's provision for the assignment. But he's not through. He's going to continue to develop this all the way through the rest of the verses. We're going to look at least verses 18 to 20. But in verse 18, he says this. Go to verse 18. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And the word leaves you. I will not abandon you. I will not forsake you. I will not abandon you as orphans. Now, that word is used in two ways in biblical times. And one of them is the way that we use the word today. If some children have lost their parents, then we may identify them as orphans. But there's another way the word is used, that when a teacher, if disciples lose their teacher or their master, they also are considered orphans. So when Jesus is here, he says, in continuing this promise that I'm going to leave and ask the Father to send you, I am not abandoning you as your. Yes, I got to go away and I got to go prepare a place, but I'm not abandoning you. You're not going to be orphans. My Father is going to send someone just like me. I will come to you. Now, this I will come to you. We got to keep in mind, when the message that we looked at last week was on the other side of the resurrection. This is after Christ had rose from the dead. He met with the disciples in Galilee and gave them the assignment. Today, we're looking at it prior to his arrest and crucifixion. So now it helps me understand why he puts at the end of that I will come to you. And we'll see this. Go look at verse 19 there. After a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live. You shall live also. After a little while, so this is on the front end of the thing. After a little while, it's pointing to the coming crucifixion and burial of Jesus Christ. He's saying when that happens, the world won't see me again, but you will see me. And the reason he says, but you will see me, because we now know through progressive revelation, there will be other revelation. There will be other appearances to the disciples after his resurrection. And last week's message was one of those times when Jesus met with them. That was after the resurrection. So here before it, we see now with last week's message that he fulfilled that promise. He kept this promise. Not only am I going to send a helper, but even after my death and burial, when I rise again, you will see me. But the world would never see him again. But he says something else interesting, though. Because I live, excuse me, you will live also. And I take it here that this is still further encouragement to them. The fact that he is going to overcome death is the assurance that his disciples will have life also. And I believe two things are in view here, both the physical and the spiritual life. Because of the resurrection of Jesus, we too are assured bodily resurrection. And because of the bodily resurrection of Christ, we are assured spiritual life and spiritual resurrection. That's what happens when you are born again. You get a spiritual life. You're spiritually resurrected. But also with his physical resurrection comes the promise of us of a bodily resurrection. And a key chapter that I want you to go back and make time and look at would be 1 Corinthians 13. We don't have time to go through all of it, but Paul makes the point that the resurrection, our resurrection, is built on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That everything that we believe stands and falls on the resurrection of Jesus. Because there were some at the church in Corinth who had been questioning the concept of a bodily resurrection. They were questioning was that a reality? Did Christ truly, was he truly raised from the dead? And that was just that same guy that I was mentioning at the repairs of the breach. He had that same argument. He does not believe that he don't believe Jesus even died, but he said, and I especially don't believe he rose from the dead. But verse 12 says this, because I want you to see what Paul says now, because this is overwhelming, has significance for us. He says this in 1 Corinthians 13. If Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain. Your faith also is in vain. So no matter how much faith I have, no matter how much faith you have, if Jesus Christ did not come out of that tomb, it is of no value. It could not cleanse us from our sins. Because we got to understand, it's his work on the cross that saves us. His resurrection from the dead just proves that he indeed accomplished what he said he did. So without that, there is no evidence, there is no testimony. And as a matter of fact, if he wasn't raised from the dead, he's a liar. And if what he said about his body resurrection wasn't so, what he said about saving us from our sins, that's not true either. And that's why Paul said we would be a most pitiful people. So the connection is, because he lives, or Jesus says, because I live, you will live also. Because he was raised from the dead, I too now have spiritual life. Because if it wasn't for his resurrection and life, even today there would be no spiritual life. So Jesus proclaiming at this time, I will be raised from the dead. And all who believe in me will experience spiritual life in resurrection, and they also will have the promise of physical life in resurrection. And so finally he comes to verse 20. He says, in that day you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. In that day, that's referring to his resurrection and all the events that surrounded the resurrection. Because at this particular time, the disciples, they were still somewhat in the dark. They were not completely understanding that they were on the brink of his arrest and crucifixion. And so he tells them, in that day, when these things happen, in the day of my resurrection and all those things that surround that event, you will know then. They will come to a fuller and complete understanding that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. So in that day refers to a period following Jesus' resurrection and then in the coming of the Holy Spirit, which happens on the day of Pentecost. So it is at that time, and even us later believers, that we fully understand the nature of the relationship with God through this Spirit now coming to be in us. He says, you're going to understand when the Spirit comes, when the Helper comes, and he's now not just abiding among you, but in you, you're going to understand now a fuller what the nature of that relationship is. I am in the Father. And what that means, he's just affirming the unity of the essence between the Son and the Father. But not only that, but you in me. That through your faith in Christ and now with the indwelling Spirit now, you're united with me. Sharing in my life. And I in you. And I dwell in you through the presence of the Holy Spirit. Making you God's temple. So this verse, it promises that believers are not left as orphans, as we just read up there. Our master, our teacher, he didn't leave us. He didn't abandon us, but we're even connected to him in a more intimate way with the coming of the Holy Spirit. He's not just among us. He's in us forever. There's a mutual relationship here. There's a sharing here. And I don't know if any of you caught it. We're in John 14. In John 15 is where we dealt with about the fruit that where he abide. You have to remain in Christ, abiding in Christ. So he develops this, I am in my Father and you in me and I in you. When you get over to John 15, he develops that even more by saying you can't do anything apart from me, but abiding in me, you bear much fruit. So not only should we be clear on our assignment, but we should be encouraged to know that God has made provision for the assignment by sending us another helper, just like Jesus, in every way, who is the Holy Spirit, to empower us, to aid us, to give us the help we need to fulfill the assignment. So now you do not have to be scared to how am I going to talk to this person. You have a helper. Open your mouth. I definitely don't want this to sound arrogant at all. All glory to God. All glory to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That young man that we talked to on Tuesday, he would be intimidating for most people. He's read through the Quran completely. He's read through the Bible. And he was puffed up on his knowledge. He was super smart. He knew all these scriptures, can reel them off this way. But he had no understanding. And I believe that if you don't let somebody like that intimidate you, if you're studying your Bible, you'll see how God will bring to remembrance how you can address such a thing. He says, the Quran says you have to believe the prophets and believe Jesus because he's a prophet. I said, okay, but you don't believe Jesus died. He said, no, I don't. I said, but you read the whole Bible. He said, yeah. I said, let's go to the last book then. Went to Revelation chapter 1. This is Jesus speaking, because you know that some people hang on the red words, even though Jesus wrote the whole thing. But okay, so fine, we're on the red words. You say you believe the prophets, and you're supposed to believe Jesus, but you don't believe he died. Jesus says, I am the one who was dead, and now I'm alive. I said, how do you deal with that? He jumped to something else. So it's not about being intimidated. The Spirit will bring to your remembrance of how to deal with certain things. And Brother Al put his hand on his shoulder and looked him in his eyes and said, Brother, for your sake, I hope you're listening to what we're talking about. Because it's not about having all this knowledge, but you have a helper. You, the Holy Spirit, you have one that's just like Jesus. That's why Jesus even tells them that, hey, when I leave, he's going to tell you everything. He's going to remind you everything that I told you. So Gateway in particular, and if we got friends that's visiting, great, wonderful family that's visiting, great, wonderful, we're glad you're here. But I've been assigned here at Gateway in knowing what our assignment is. Whatever we do in terms of ministry, it comes under this umbrella of assignment. And we understand now, or should be encouraged in our hearts, God has given us provision by the Holy Spirit. Now watch this. 2 weeks ago, the message was about our access into the presence of God through prayer. We have everything we need to fulfill the assignment. I was encouraged on last Wednesday. More of you joined the prayer, corporate prayer. We had a great time. I was so encouraged by it. Prayer's out. Yeah, yes, God knows what we have need of before we ask, but prayer's our way of showing that we're depending on you. That in our limitedness, we're grateful to Jesus for our access to divine power. That is our Father who is in heaven with a Holy Spirit within us, helping us pray according to his will. And now, thus, you have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. God has done everything for us. And now it's a privilege for us to serve him in a way that we don't deserve, that is, that we can be his ambassadors with our lives being a testimony to the resurrection of Christ, and now with us going out with our assignment, knowing that we are empowered to carry that assignment out. Study the word of God, go out and open your mouths and tell the world that this is a trustworthy saying, Jesus Christ came to save sinners. Amen. Let me pray for us. Father in heaven, God, we praise you today for your word, God. I thank you so much, God, for the provision that we talked about today. This one who is the helper, just like Jesus. This one who provides aid and assistance and strength for us. That is the precious Holy Spirit, God, who enables us in every way in our time of need, God. God, what a privileged people we are today to live in an age that we are indwelt permanently by your Spirit. And I pray that those individuals who are here today who do not know what it means to have a relationship with you, that you will open their eyes and their hearts, God, so they can see the blessing, the good news, that wonderful, wonderful news. That you have provided salvation for them. Lord, that they might be willing to humble themselves before you and cast themselves upon your mercy, God, to believe that your Son paid their penalty. And we'll praise your name for it. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. You have your assignment. You have everything that you need to carry out your assignment. Oh, if we would but open up our mouth. I sent you guys a text out that Monday because I wanted to encourage you and show you that I'm not exempt from the assignment. I have to be about my Father's business as well. Notice now the assignment is not saying come to Gateway. The assignment is you sharing the gospel. Nothing wrong with you inviting them to Gateway, but sharing the gospel. You never know if they're going to show up or not, so why risk it? I was sitting with some family members last night, and we were talking about my mother, who most of you know is deceased. And I told them that I'm forever grateful to God that he gave me an opportunity to share with my mother the gospel. I don't know where my mother is. Now, she did. I would tell you I saw signs of a changed woman, but only God really knows anybody's heart. And so no matter how bad her son wants her in heaven, it was a personal decision between her and God. But I have a peace in my mind from the fact that, God, you know what? You gave her an opportunity to hear your good news. What more could a son ask for? And now there are countless number of people, everybody you walk by, everybody you're seeing, don't assume they know Jesus Christ, that they know what he did for them. The last, I guess, handful of people I've asked that question, and this, not one of them got it right, or biblically right. Not one. And they don't have to answer it exactly the way KP wants them to answer it. But their answer was not according to the Bible. So there are people out there that need you to share the gospel with them. Don't have it. Oh, everybody heard it. They ain't going to want to hear it. You don't know that. And besides, you still got to be faithful with what God has called you to. You're not going to be able to. Don't be that steward that was entrusted with the one talent. And say, I hid it because I knew you was a hard master. And he says, take it from that wretched servant. So don't be that guy or that woman. Thank you so much for your attention today. I want to give you an opportunity right now, though. Yeah, I want to give you that opportunity. You can come to my left, your right, if you desire to come. If you want to pray, if something in the Word has ministered to your heart in terms of this provision that we've been given and this great assignment, come pray. Nobody bothers you. Or maybe you want someone to pray with you and for you. You could come to my right, your left. At this time, I have you stand again if you're able and give those people an opportunity who might want to come. And if you don't understand anything of what we're talking about, I would love to talk to you personally. And if you can meet me right there in the back, we'll make a time. I'm not saying I know everything. I pray that by God's Spirit, he'll help me help you answer the questions. Or we'll find somebody who can. Maybe seated. There's something else we should be praising God for. Yeah, the emphasis, obviously, for the message was on the assignment, but the very fact that you have the indwelling Holy Spirit is enough to praise God, too, because no matter what trials or difficulties or obstacles, even like what young Jairus faced, we have a helper. We have a comforter, and so he's there also for those things as well, to abide in us and to sustain us. So we're grateful today. Thank you again for all of you who've come. Thank you so much for joining us today. This Wednesday, Bible study, prayer service rather, starts at 6 o'clock, and Bible study starts at 7, and we will continue to encourage you, if you're able, to please, please, please join us. And in the meantime, be prayerful for God's leading in both of those areas. I'll pray for one last time for us, and we're going to be on our way for at least for this day. Father, thank you again for your patience and your kindness. Continuing over and over and over, God, giving us opportunities so that we can be assured and guaranteed of being brought safely into your presence, God. How sad it is that we let these opportunities pass us by. And I pray, Father, for the week, the day, not only the weeks, but even the rest of this day and in the days to come, God, that these messages will convict our hearts, God, that as we look at our loved ones, as we even look at strangers, God, that our hearts will be reminded of this assignment and that we will be bold and open our mouths knowing that we have someone just like Jesus to help us, that is the Holy Spirit. So thank you, God, again for your word today. Thank you as we prepare to leave this place, your continued favor and blessings upon your people as they go. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen. God bless you.